The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
Looking like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3 o'clock on your Wednesday afternoon, a rainy Wednesday in East Tennessee. Trey Wallace is back in the Fan Run studios. Bear is here. He's already caused several uncomfortable incidents in
How did that cause an uncomfortable incident?
It's just a little awkward, you know. We're taking up shirt orders around. We're getting some fan run polo shirts around the office.
I don't wear jaw fit.
You come in and we offer you like it's a nice shirt. Trey, you saw those shirts? Like
they were
really
gorgeous,
really nice material.
It's like a pajama shirt.
We're gonna give all the main guys a free one,
right?
And Nate, the Godfather's out there. And he asked you right away, is like, Bear, what size shirt do you wear? Like, what size do you want? And Bear's like, I don't wear dry fit.
That's not how I said it.
I said,
boss man, I said, don't waste your money.
Don't waste your time or your money, Nate.
I don't want your stupid shirt. I said, don't waste your money, boss man. I don't wear dry fit.
There's no need for that shirt. I'm never gonna wear it.
Wipe my ass with that shirt.
Jesus, Russell!
I already threw your Jeremy Banks shirt in the bottom of my drawer.
That was Houston's fault.
Yeah. Oh, did he sucker you into it or something?
Nah.
I mean, it's so straight. Bear's aversion to dry fit. Like, you've never worn a dry fit shirt, have you, in your entire life?
I mean, yeah. That's why I know I don't like them.
No, you haven't. When did you wear a dry fit? Like, if you had one, like, you would not. Nobody's ever put one on and be like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't like that.
It snags the skin.
No, it wicks the sweat off the skin. That's why it stays dry. It doesn't snag
anything. Yeah, because like, unlike you, I work for a living. No, you all don't talk down. You two are not going to talk over
down.
Me.
You're not going to talk work. Over me. I don't work for a living?
I'm saying you don't. If you work for a living and your hands are rough, dry fit's disgusting. It like snags and stuff. Just gross.
Well, you're not going to be.
I'm 100%. I mean, I've told you
house.
And told you and told you that I'm 100% cotton guy all the way.
Yeah,
I'm no, a man
here's,
of simple
here's
taste.
What no, this is what happened. Is
you don't work.
He saw an opening to rip on me because I'm a big dry fit guy. I'm always wearing golf shirts, and so like he stuck this outlandish position of like I hate and now he can't back down from it. It's a pride thing.
And no, it's really not. I don't like
it's
it.
Like, I'm proud it's of you, like when you meet every married guy in the audience can identify with what I'm about to say. You meet your wife. What do you do when you meet a new woman and you want to impress her? Somehow you're going to lie to her. You just are. You're going to lie to me. It's what we do to build ourselves up. Oh, yeah, I exercise every day. I don't swear. I make more money than I actually do.
Like, I'm good with money. Yeah, go to church four times a week.
Yeah, exactly. I love to work. I love children.
I don't like hanging out with my guy friends anymore.
Exactly. I like flowers and pastel colors and throw pillows.
I antique.
Like, yeah, all the stuff we say. And then, like, eventually she's going to learn that most of that stuff is BS. But there are like a couple of things that you tell her that aren't true that you just have to cling to through the rest of your relationship. And every married guy I know out there listening right there knows exactly what I'm talking about. We all have our own things. It's whatever. That's the same thing. When you and I entered into this marriage of the drive, this unholy alliance that you and I have created here, like you just decided that you're going to be anti-dry fit guy, and now you can't just
I swear to
let
God,
go
that's not
of
it.
This ridiculous
I mean, I can have
position.
People that know me. Well, Kai, I'm weird. I don't like anything. I never wear polyester.
So strange.
I'm proud of you, Bear. Stay on your ground.
So I strange. Always do. I don't back off.
If you don't want a shirt, you don't want a shirt.
Even when it's
we're not going to the mattresses.
Pointless and self-defeating. He will not back down.
No, I'll tell you what, Russ. I'll go out and buy a you know.
You don't have to buy one. We're giving you one for free.
Yeah, but he's not going to get me 100% cotton one because it'll cost him more. I'll go out and get a shirt and give it to him, and he can put the logo on
when
it.
When I win the Florida-Tennessee bet, I'll buy you one with the money
you give me. You're not winning that bet, dude. Mark it down
I feel
now.
More confident after yesterday.
But here's what – never mind.
We'll go out to a station function. Yeah.
In the summer. It's very hot. We're all wearing our fan-run polos.
It's humid.
It's very humid. We're all sweaty. You're a big sweaty dude. I'm a sweaty dude. Like, we're all big sweaty guys. Like, we're going to be out there. Trey and I are going to be in our dry fits.
Right.
Breathing comfortably, not too moist and sweaty and yucky. You're going to be in your cotton polo shirt.
Yeah.
Soaked through, heavy, sticking to, rubbing, chafing on your neck. The collar is going to be soaked in sweat. You're going to be miserable.
You have to put tape on your chest.
It's soaky. The pits are turning yellow on your shirt. It's discoloring.
Well, number one, I'm not going to be in a polo because I told Nate not to you know, waste his money on me. I'll just be wearing a gray T-shirt.
Dang it.
If it gets sweaty, it gets sweaty.
Pop a couple logos on his T-shirts.
No.
Dang it.
Trey is back from SEC Media Days. It's still going on. God. It feels like it should be over. They're going to be there tomorrow. Two.
Yeah, the elevator scene today. The escalator. Nick Saban comes down.
Was Bama there today? It was today Bama Day?
Today was Bama Day.
So all the gumps were in the lobby there waiting.
In the corral section.
How many people do you think were down there?
I'd probably say there were probably 150, 200 people.
When Saban comes down that elevator and just looks at that throng
disgustedly of
toothless yokels.
Saban's got a back entrance,
just
too.
Absolute disgust. Oh, you know what the best Nick Saban at Media Days fact man. Is? I've told you this before. This is true. Confirmed this a couple of years down there. A friend of mine, it was Richie D, former fan-run producer, was taking a whiz down there on Radio Row. They've got, like, it's a nice hotel lobby bathroom, you know, like several stalls and urinals. And Rich is in there doing his business. And all of a sudden, some Alabama staffer comes in and announces loudly, like just stands in the front of the restroom and says, I'm going to need everybody to clear out. Coach Saban needs to use the restroom.
Roll down time.
Well, you know what my response would have been? Tell him to...
I'm on the crapper.
GFH.
Yeah. I just started. This is going to be a long one, man. That breakfast buffet took its toll.
Can't pinch this one off.
Oh!
I mean, so, I would probably drop, you know, some line from, you know, The Sopranos on him.
Saban cannot use a public restroom with other people.
There you go.
we've got the Bammers on TV. We've got Media Days on here.
And that's surprising because all the other coaches, they come through the main entrance and then they go up the escalator to the main. He comes through a back entrance and goes down the escalator to all of his people.
What a pompous ass. That guy.
I mean, can you imagine like Jeremy Pruitt like, excuse me, all right, I'm going to need everybody to clear out of the restroom. Got to take a whiz. Gonna need some privacy. Don't want anybody trying to take a look and see what I got to work with down here. I can assure you everything's all right. Everything's all right in that department, if you know what I'm saying.
All right.
If y'all go ahead and clear out.
Like
to use the handicap stall. A little bit bigger in there. A little more room to maneuver. I mean, that blows my mind that he can't. He has to have the public restroom empty before he can.
I mean, would you not be more concerned that Pruitt might? I'll be right back. Just step outside and just let it fly.
Open up that hotel window. I gotta go.
Well, this has been a high class first opening segment of the drive here.
You
this
started
afternoon.
It.
That's really nice. Trey,
hey,
Bear is SEC Media Days winds down. This afternoon, takeaways from the official, unofficial kickoff of the 2019 college football season, SEC Media Days takeaways.
It's a cluster blank. I'm excited for it to go back to Atlanta.
Is that the last time it's at Hoover?
I think that's the last time it's in Hoover. I was having this conversation with a couple people Monday. I think that's it. There's too much room in Atlanta. There's going to be so much room in Nashville at the hotel they haven't even finished yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe come back to Hoover once every 5 years, maybe. But it's just too big for Hoover now. It really is. It's just the second floor, man.
I mean, they need to move everything involved with the conference out of the state of Alabama.
They need to move to Nashville. I think Nashville or Atlanta.
I like having it move around a little bit. I mean, I'm not
talking about the media days.
You're talking about
that.
The offices.
I'm talking about all the, you know, the administrative stuff. Because, I mean, it's just – it's.
Yeah, but it'll never come out of Birmingham. Just
yeah, because the Gumps are never going to let it go because that's their unfair advantage that they have over everybody. And they infiltrate. They, you know, the Bammer.
How does Alabama have a stranglehold on the SEC offices, which are, I mean, it's voted on by the league presidents, right? I mean, if the presidents got together and said we wanted to change this, they could probably change it, right?
Yes, they could.
I mean, it is a central location.
Birmingham?
Yeah. If you take the SEC and draw like a radius around it.
You're not going to get me to listen to your rational argument about this. It needs to be moved out of the state of Alabama.
Where?
Atlanta or Nashville. I would settle for Atlanta.
And you know what was interesting was a lot of people thought Dallas or Houston was going to be in the running for that SEC media days. And then Nashville came along with a bid pretty much that they could not turn down. So 2021 be headed to Nashville, 2020 Atlanta. I look, Media Days is it is
jump
what it
the
is.
Sharks what it's done.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get much out of anything anymore. I think you saw that. I think it was nice of, you know, and all these teams do this. They have the local media and you get to talk to Coach Pruitt and all the players, and you get to ask questions that you know you're probably not going to be able to ask once you get
downstairs.
And you
were telling me, I hope this isn't – I'm not speaking out of turn. I won't say who, but, like, you said that there were a couple of people, like, national/regional people that infiltrated the what was supposed to be the local media session with Jeremy Pruitt at Media Days, and that they were politely or maybe forcefully told to move along.
They weren't having it. If you don't cover them here in Knoxville, you don't get to – you know, you're not going to be allowed to hang out with, you know, when an email gets sent out. You know what I mean? But, you know, Zach Stipe just comes in there, hey, gots to go if you're not from Knoxville, which was, I thought it was funny. That was probably the funniest moment there, besides Pruitt filibustering, which was absolutely fantastic. Good for him. You know, he went 22 and a half minutes, and they only had time for like three or four questions, which was very smart on his part. But I think Garantano handled himself well. I thought Batuli answered questions, and Daryl Taylor was funny. And you learn a lot of different things about the player-wise. Like, you know, Jared Garantano didn't know what blueberry pie was. Said it was some Southern thing. Didn't really know, which I thought
Where did the blueberry pie stuff come from? What is that all
about? The
dinner
with Jeremy Pruitt that they had in February.
Jeremy's wife served him some blueberry pie?
Yes.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes.
Said blueberry pie.
That's what he said.
You're a big blueberry pie guy?
Oh, yeah. Second in my power rankings.
Yeah.
Behind what?
Apple.
Garantano didn't know what that was.
I don't know that I've ever had blueberry pie.
I've had apple.
If it's done properly, it's really hard to beat.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of blueberries. The problem with blueberries is they always get that little stem, the little really thin stem is still in the blueberries. And it's like, it's not a problem. It doesn't taste bad. It's just a minor nuisance that takes away from the overall experience, in my humble opinion.
That's interesting. Okay, I haven't heard that one before, to be honest with you.
The little stem?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. And that's what I think that was, you know, that's what Jarrett was talking about. Garantano was like, yeah, she cooked me blueberry pie.
He's from New Jersey. He's probably not used to that.
Yeah, you've been there 3 years. How have you not had some kind of pie like that?
I mean, blueberry pie, not everybody serves that.
That's a.
You ever had a huckleberry pie?
I think so.
What's a huckleberry pie?
It's a different kind of berry.
I think I've had
What is a huckleberry? I thought that was just the name of, like,
no,
Finn.
It's a
berry you got to hustle for to go get.
That's an actual berry, a huckleberry?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Are you sure? I don't think you're sure.
No, I'm not. You're not sure, doing that thing I usually do to you. Like where I have you doubting yourself. Like I'm doubting myself.
Parker,
now.
Google it. Is there such a thing as a huckleberry? There is. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Similar to a blueberry.
Yeah. So I knew I'd had it before when I was a kid. You know, a banana's a berry?
A banana is a berry?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It grows
look
on
it
a
up.
Tree, right? A banana tree.
Bananas are berries.
Bananas are not berries.
Look it up.
State fruit of Idaho.
What? State fruit of Idaho. Huckleberries and potatoes.
That's what they're known for.
Yeah, that and malicious. Crazy people.
Damn. Yeah, that's where Ruby Ridge was, right?
Yeah. That's...
I looked that up like 3 weeks ago.
Ruby Ridge?
Yeah, I didn't really know.
I watched it live on TV.
Daryl Taylor said he got into cliff diving during the off season.
What? That doesn't seem safe.
Said he found like
but not very surprising.
There's a quarry or something around here in South Knoxville.
Yeah, hold on. Whoa. What? This is where I have to put out my PA. Swimming in quarries, incredibly dangerous. You should never, ever do it.
Yeah, so Daryl Taylor's cliff diving in South Knox.
They asked him what he was doing this summer. And he was like, I did a lot of cliff diving.
Man,
wait a minute.
When I was that age, high school, college, we did so many crazy like cliffs that you can jump off of, rope swings and stuff around here. That like I don't know how we found these things, but.
Everybody just kind of, you talking about out of Shota?
Yeah, I mean,
Daryl wouldn't tell us where he went.
The best rope swing I remember, I don't know if it's still there because it's been 20 years. Like it was on Edgemore Road in Oak Ridge.
Yeah, familiar.
And
with
you had to like park and walk like a mile up into the woods.
I know the one you're talking about.
Really?
And it was so dangerous, man. It was so rickety and high up in the air and ridiculous. But I know what you're talking about. Are you talking about where you can rent the paddle boards and everything over there in South Knoxville?
He said quarry. He wouldn't give us the direct location.
He's talking about the quarry.
Like a place off the beaten path.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
Where the authorities don't typically go.
Yeah, and the rescue squad's out there at least twice a summer to
fish
drag up and down
corpse out of the water.
So I thought that was. We were like, okay. Got into Daryl Taylor's favorite restaurant in Knoxville. I don't know if we do free pub or not, but yeah, no.
You've teased it now.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to.
It's only been open 2 weeks, he said. So this is not really free pub. It's just we'll go.
It's only been open 2 weeks. How can a place that's been open two weeks?
The best hot sauce, best homemade hot sauce, called the Lost Tavern.
Huh? Never even heard of it.
It's in Market Square. He said. Said it just opened. Said that's his favorite place. He's been here for so long, but that's his favorite place to eat.
I'll tell you the thing that was an interesting takeaway for me that Daryl Taylor said last week is they asked him who the strongest player on the team was.
Yeah.
Did you see what he said?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Who do you think is the strongest player on the team, according to Daryl Taylor?
Probably Daryl Taylor.
No. I'll give you a hint. It's a true freshman. Hasn't played a game yet.
Oh, it's got to be either Quavaris, Wanye, or Darnell. One of those three. Really?
Elijah Simmons.
It's a beast.
Really?
Yeah. He said that. He said he is the strongest player on the team already. Now, I don't know if that's been quantified via bench press or something.
Now, Elijah Simmons, because I don't
the
know
dunker,
him.
The dunker. The kid
the big 350-pounder from like the Pearl Cone in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. So he's on campus now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, does he just wear like that giant oil rig-sized chain link around his neck everywhere?
I don't know, but I mean, it's
–
It's a good sign.
Yeah, if he's got that kind of natural strength, that tells me that he might be able to help out immediately right away, which is going to be key for a defensive line that basically doesn't have anybody that I would say is a quote-unquote proven commodity. It's got one guy that's played a little bit in Emmett Gooden, and everybody else is – we haven't seen him.
Now, where did the – I heard a quote, something about they were asked and they described the defense as – it was going to be violent this year?
Yes.
So what was the question?
One word to describe the defense this upcoming season.
Violent?
Violent.
Kind of like it.
Got turned you on.
Kind of like it.
It's critical.
I did hear a quote. Pruitt said, well, yeah, it was a little bit different this year. We had a lot of big guys running around hitting each other real hard.
Did he really?
He said real hard. He said he finally got like 12 players on the offensive line, like above 300 pounds. So that was one of the positives.
A lot of big guys running around fast, hitting each other real hard.
That's just beating the crap out of
each other. Go back and hit him hard, young man. Hit him hard. It was good. He was honest. Like, and I said this yesterday, and I'll kind of repeat this again, and we'll talk about this throughout the show and kind of reflect on his first season a little bit going into a second. But Russ Bear, he was – when he got into that electronic media room, man, he – it's like he kind of opened up a little bit talking about the downfalls of the first year. Said he did not spend enough time with the players his first 6 months of the season, and he lost the players. He lost the players. And he said he's been trying to build up those relationships ever since.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, it's pretty ballsy to admit that.
Yeah. Okay. He said he was more worried about Smokey's Grill, Anderson Facility, you know, the weight room.
It sounds like he's
worried about his players.
He's admitting to some of the problems that I think were downfalls for both Butch Jones and Derek Dooley, you know, worrying about things that didn't really have a huge impact on football. And in Butch, I don't think Butch would – like, I don't think Derek Dooley, it sounds like he would, I think he has in a couple of interviews kind of said, you know what, I should have been more focused on recruiting and coaching the team as opposed to designing the training facility and stuff like that. I don't think Butch is that self-aware. I don't think he realizes how distracted
he'd never
he was.
Admit it.
But
Lane was
the fact that Jeremy Pruitt is able to acknowledge that
identify
after year one, I'm not going to say, oh, we're 10-2, but it is –
You know what made me feel like Pruitt hit a mark? He was talking, and I don't know how some are going to take this, is what it is. He was talking about his wife, and he was talking about them having a conversation after the season. And, you know, he was kind of like, honey, what went wrong? Why were we at this spot? And she, you know, he jokingly remarked yesterday that she said, you know, if you'd have moved me here in January and not in June, we'd have been 8-4 last season. Talking about those first 6 months on the job. But it made me think for a minute that she is just as much a football wife than anybody else. Like, she's involved. You know, he asked her, you know, I didn't hear a lot of talk about how much you produced to the team or helped the team last year. What I'm trying to say, I think, is we got a damn football coach here in Knoxville. And he showed that yesterday. He's shown that before, but he finally kind of opened up. And I think he's getting better at this.
By the way, he said, for all those of you who were hating on his suit yesterday, Bear,
I didn't hate on it.
You did. It was really uncomfortable, and I think you owe him an apology.
You're a bald-faced liar, you jackass.
You were hating on his suit?
No, he was. I've got the tape to prove it.
Just stop. He said...
Wow.
He said that she picked out the suit. She picked out the suit.
He's only got three.
If you're taking a shot at him, I mean, you're kind of taking a shot at his wife, which is, I feel like that should be off limits. So slow your roll.
I'm not going to get as sheepy as a shepherd just did about him. Which, Trey, you sound like you're positively in love with Pruitt.
No, I thought that was the first honest answer we've gotten from him since he's been here.
I mean, there's probably some truth to it. I mean, if she's in town and she's seen him screw up, you know, I mean, your partner's going
to
tell you.
I think that's good for people that are over there and have to listen to it, that he's not just full of crap or making up something.
So Pruitt's winning talking season. And we all agree he had a good day yesterday?
Sure.
I think it's set himself up to have a good day with his filibuster.
Hope so. Lose to BYU at home. Lose at Florida. Any goodwill that was
check back in with us
that was started yesterday is
what
pretty much out the window.
What if he beats BYU and goes down there and beats Florida? Do you hold? We'll probably talk about this on the other side, Russ. But do you get excited or do you hold back your enthusiasm?
Get excited if we start out 4-0 with a win at Florida at the Swamp.
I mean that in a sense of because
we'll be walking around here with our chest puffed out. We'll be doing the Ric Flair strut. Into the studios.
Doing the Kramer.
It'll be Hawaii 4-0.
This Jesus Christ Superstar jacking on.
What is the schedule? It's Georgia State, BYU,
Chattanooga,
Florida. Off week? And then
no,
Georgia?
We don't get an off week. They get an off week.
So we play Georgia immediately after? I feel like there's an off week after Florida.
I haven't looked at the schedule in a while.
chances of being Hawaii 5-0 probably pretty slim.
I never conceded.
4-0 is possible. 4-0 would be nice.
4-0 is a possibility. So here it is. It's
4-0, so we aren't beating
It's Georgia State. It's BYU. It's Chattanooga, Florida. And then we do get a bye week. So Tennessee gets a bye week before Georgia. Georgia gets a bye week as well.
Let's do it. Got 2 weeks to get ready for you, Kirby.
What's the hype going to be like if Tennessee somehow, Bears not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, what are the possibilities? Tennessee's 4-0 with Georgia coming to town.
This place will be off its rocker like it always gets.
I mean, my Lord. That would be.
All bets are off. We get to 4-0.
Good for business for sure. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show with us this afternoon. Open up the phone lines here. 865-546-8200. You want to jump in? Any thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt's performance yesterday at SEC Media Days? Now's your chance. The Next Door Home Group Hotline is open. We'll take a quick break. Continue right after this here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell, Barry, Trey back with you here at the Fan Run Studios. Portions of our show today brought to you by Jiffy Lube Knoxville. We appreciate their sponsorship of the show. A lot of y'all get set to head out of town on vacation this month before school starts back up. Be sure to take your ride by Jiffy Lube. Get your oil changed, tires rotated, things of that nature. Make sure you're operating in tip-top shape for any long out-of-town trips. Jiffy Lube Knoxville, locally owned and operated. All 9 locations here in East Tennessee by Joe Gleason and Chip Shipley. Bearden and Miraval grads, respectively. UT grads, both of them have had this business in the family for many, many years. Go to JiffyLubeKnoxville.com to find out more about Jiffy Lube Multicare Facilities, which in addition to Quick Lube Oil Service could do tires. They've Michelin dealer out there and a variety of other services on your car as well. Again, JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. Download a coupon for $10 off your next visit while you're there at JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. A couple of other Tennessee-related news items out there for you. Todd Chandler has been named to the Doak Walker Award watch list.
How many people are on that right now?
Like 50.
A lot of running backs on that. So
he showed some flashes last year.
He has shown some flashes. I'm expecting big things from Todd Chandler. I think if he stays healthy, he could be a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Hello.
Like, if you put him on last year, if you'd taken him and put him on any of the, say, the top 8 teams, he would have seen the field.
Oh, yeah.
And made big-time plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would have seen the field for – he could play just about anywhere in the country. I mean, might have trouble getting on the field last year at Alabama, as stacked as they were. But other
maybe
than that,
Clemson.
Yeah, maybe Clemson. So he's a good player, man. Doak Walker, where did he play?
Texas.
Mississippi State? You don't even know the answer.
I don't know. I want to say SMU.
Texas.
Let's see, Doak Walker. 1950 to 1955. Born in Dallas. Played at SMU.
Wow.
I'm the smartest man alive.
You must have watched a lot of his games, Bear.
Oh.
Wait a minute, how's that a shot? He was born in 55.
Played from 50
he played
to 55.
He was born in 1927.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bear.
Passed away in September 1998. Did not get to see Tennessee finish the 98 season unbeaten. Sad. Sad when you think about it.
The great Dino Babers at Syracuse, have you seen the quote?
No.
We've had some guys like Vanilla Ice on our team.
What?
You know, a one-hit wonder. We want you to be like the Commodores, the Beatles, Queen.
It's good. That's nice.
It's a good quote.
I like that guy, man. Also, Robert Ayers retires today. Former Vol, first round pick of the Broncos back in 2009.
We need more guys like him.
Yep.
Yeah.
South Carolina guy.
Did he get one with the Broncos? I want to say he did.
5 years in Denver before heading to the Giants as a free agent. He spent 2 years there. Moved on to 2 years with the Buccaneers, was released by Tampa last year, signed with the Lions in late August, but Detroit released him a day later. I don't know if he was on, was 09?
I want to say he got.
When did Denver win? That was like 15 or 16, right? I think he might have missed that one.
What about with the Giants, though?
He did. I think he did get one with Eli.
Well,
I think
I mean, that
he won
been
a Super Bowl.
In 2015, I mean, the Giants' last Super Bowl was 2014, wasn't it?
When was he with the Giants?
He might have missed it. I think he just missed the Broncos and
God,
just
could
missed
you imagine
the Giants.
Just coming in and being at the year after?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
or three times.
That would stink if you missed out on a chance for a ring, but a very productive player, had a great NFL career, and he had one good year at Tennessee. Was it the Kiffin year, I think, or it might have been Fulmer's last year's 08 or 09. He was a four-year guy and just did not do anything. Was a four-star guy at a high school out of Marlboro County, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And just never did anything. And then all of a sudden his last year, the light turned on for him. That's why I never give up on these dudes who don't show out. Like everybody's like, J.J. Peterson's bust. It's like,
yeah,
what?
No.
He played half a year last year, redshirted. Like, he's still
struggled to
get
into school, yeah.
Like, you just got to wait it out, man.
Reggie White didn't do a whole lot until his last year.
It happens.
And then he went on to become probably the best that he's ever played and may ever play that position.
Ayers played in a Super Bowl. They got beat 43-8 by the Seahawks.
He was on the Broncos team that just got annihilated.
Yeah, God, experiment was with playing
yeah,
the
playing
Super
in
Bowl.
A snowstorm in New York City.
Yeah,
like,
with was, Peyton's bionic neck.
Wasn't that the first play fumble TD?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was horrible. It was a nightmare.
Poor Peyton.
Oh, yeah, Peyton's got it rough. He's got two rings. A gazillion dollars in the bank.
He's had ESPN.
So many of the quote unquote big losses, like big stage games that he got to where they lost. He just had like some signature, just awful play. You know, like the pick six against New Orleans in the Super Bowl. The fumble in the first play. The Florida interceptions.
Was it Brian Schofield on that Seahawks team?
I think so.
Hey, how God's name did Peyton not beat Florida?
Because he couldn't play defense, too, Trey.
Man, I get it.
And that's what's so maddening about it. That was during a period of time where Tennessee had, year in and year out, they were one of the top two defenses in the nation every year.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe in 1997, if instead of starting Mark Levine, who I love and know, and Sean Bryson, we had, I don't know, given the ball to that Jamal Lewis guy about 25 or 30 times, we probably would have won that game, too.
Well, he
because they finally started him the next week, and he ran for like 300 yards against Georgia.
Yeah,
it's like
it's my favorite game of all time.
He didn't learn. Fulmer and Sanders, or I guess it was still Cutcliffe at that time, were like, "Well, he doesn't know the blocking schemes
yet."
Yeah,
that was a big
okay.
Thing.
Well, how about this? How about we don't block? How about we just give him the ball?
Just turn around and hand it to him.
he's really really good.
Yeah.
Was
he the number one coming out of high school overall that year?
No, he wasn't even number one in the state.
Who was number one?
Jasper Sanks.
Wow.
It looks like I got that one wrong.
He was a good player.
Yeah, but he wasn't a borderline first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL.
I was at that game when he tore his ACL. Oh, that was tough. I don't know why I went back on that one, but I did. Yeah.
Called the cops on our Jamal Lewis party, Trey. Thanks.
Peyton's a part of that new hotel on the Strip now, too. The Volunteer.
He's dabbled in hotels here in Knoxville.
Building a honky tonk as well.
He's got his hands in a lot of things.
Remember that? What's that hotel? The Magnolia? That's there right off Cumberland?
I think that's what Trey's talking about. The Volunteer.
It's called the Volunteer now.
The old Days Inn behind McDonald's?
No. No, I'm talking about the hotel across from World's Fair Park.
Oh, the Tennessean?
Is that what it's called
right
now?
The brand new one, the super fancy smanchy one?
It's not brand new. It's been there for like 15 years.
I know a group bought the Holiday Inn Express, and Marriott did, and they're turning that around. They're flipping that.
Yeah.
No, dude, you're walking down Cumberland, the hills to your right. You walk down to the bottom. When it bottoms out there,
diagonal from you, there's
a hotel right
is
there.
World's Fair Park and the stage where they used to have hot summer night concerts. Yeah. If you turn left, I don't know the name of that street.
Like into Fort Sanders?
Yeah. It's right
on the hill.
Yeah, it's right there on the left. There's been a hotel there for like at least 15 years.
Isn't that a Hilton Garden Inn or something?
Yeah, I think so.
He was involved with that when it first opened.
I lived there.
At the Hilton Garden Inn?
I think right where
the hotel?
Yeah, like right on that street, right across from.
What drug were you dealing, money bags?
Yeah. No, on White Avenue.
Oh, White Avenue.
It was on White Avenue, right at 11th Street, right next to. World's Fair Park in the year, the year 2000. In the year 2000. In the year 2000.
What number on White Avenue?
So, I don't remember. It was this little crummy apartment, my first apartment that I was ever in. Little one-bedroom shack place.
Were you scared?
Sometimes, yes. But had some good times in there, too.
Fort's kind of scary,
one
dude.
Day, like, one day towards the end of the school year, woke up, and there was a note that had been sent under the door that said, you have 30 days to vacate the premises. We're tearing these buildings down. Which I was, like, already done anyway. I was thinking I was going to move back home for the summer. I was like, okay, then.
Wow.
It's not as bad as some of those, what, they built those new condos on campus, and people couldn't move in at the exact time they needed to. And you had to turn around and pay them.
Oh, these kids are spoiled, man. I remember moving into Reese Hall. And you're like sharing a small cell with three other people. Yeah, we had air conditioning, which was good.
I wonder, does the zoo have air conditioning now?
The zoo?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
So, did they not call it the zoo when you were over there?
I don't think so.
It's where like all the Yankees lived. The out of state guys. Because they. Everybody in town knew it didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, I just remember thinking that was the crummiest looking dorm, and I wanted no part of it.
They were insane over
like
there.
Like the wooden twin beds, and you know, you had to bring your own fridge. Oh, shocker! Or a toaster oven.
Yeah, the really pimped out suites had a mini fridge in there.
Right. Yeah.
You could fit about 20 beers in those things if you spaced it out right.
The dorm furniture sucked. Just wooden, hard sofas.
Did you live in Andy Holt?
No.
I had some friends that lived up there.
Haynes King is supposed to pop this week. And they said that a couple of weeks ago, too. So
Haynes King. He's got two last names.
Pop and get over with.
There was a couple of crystal balls that had him targeted for A&M yesterday. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Has Texas not gone after him?
No, because they've got a commitment from the number one quarterback in the country for the next class.
Out of Texas?
Yeah.
Where is he out of? Do you know?
I don't know.
Where's Haynes King out of?
Longview, Texas. Just inside the state line across from Louisiana.
Okay.
Kick and spin it, man. I know Chaney wants him badly. They've been after him hard and – I think that he's getting set to start his high school season, and the coach wants him to go ahead and put it behind him, so no distractions. I don't know if you've noticed or if you guys are aware, but they take their high school football a little seriously in the Lone Star State.
Kind of feel like he's just going to go to A&M now.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I would love to have him because, as we've said several times, whenever Tennessee has signed two quote unquote blue chip quarterbacks, one of them usually transfers, but that's only because the one that ends up winning the job is special. So, play the averages, you get two quarterbacks, your chances of getting a really good one are better, and that is the rumor out there that he's supposed to make a decision at some point. Nealon, the beer sales, we got an update on that. We'll talk about that when we continue. Your Nextdoor Home Group hotline is wide open right now. You want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Back with more of The Drive right after this.
The Drive, East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Wait until 4 o'clock. I'm strategically playing. Because the thing about caffeine, you hit that caffeine, it gives you that jolt.
I mean, what's going on with you?
It gives you. I'm having trouble sleeping, man. I don't want to talk about it. It's okay.
We're a family. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get you through it.
What?
I mean, don't worry. I only get 3 hours of sleep per night, too. Can't fall asleep till 2. Wake up at 5:30.
Are you like an insomniac or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I tried. I get in bed at like 11:30, but I can't fall asleep till 2. It's always like at 2 o'clock.
I
could come over to your house.
I got to put down a podcast.
And take about 30 seconds. You'd sleep for 10 hours.
How are you going to sleep me?
It used to take you 2 or 3 good pulls off a jar.
Oh. That's what I did last night. Was I took one Tylenol PM, and like that didn't do the trick. So I took another one, and that put me out. But like I didn't take the second one until after midnight because I was up, and then I ended up oversleeping, and I'm behind for like the whole day. It's just a vicious cycle.
You just feel tired.
Yeah.
No.
A little sluggish. I was real bad. I'm not like yesterday. Yesterday I was about to pull a full on Francesca and fall asleep on the air.
Pull a full on. Oh, Francesca.
Yeah,
Francesca.
Mike Francesa.
Whatever.
You swig anything down last night? Take a shot or something to help out the Tylenol PM?
Nah. I'm trying to limit the alcohol intake these days. Growing up.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
What's the most alcohol you've drank in the last year?
All right. So we got a lot of other things getting to here.
Get you on that
it's
one.
The Big 12 Media Days as well as ACC Media Days, Pac-12 Media Days. We'll go around here. The big thing at Big 12 this year, I don't know if you guys saw, was the horns down sign. Do you guys know what the horns down controversy is all about?
Yeah.
The hook 'em horns sign that Texas does. Like people have been turning that upside down as a form of anti-Texas trash talk.
What is that? Is what are you this, saying, no, surf's up?
That's hang loose. Is that horn? What's Texas? That okay? And they're going like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're turning it upside down, and apparently this is a big no-no. Greg Burks, the Big 12 coordinator of football officials, said if a player quickly flashes the horns down sign after scoring a touchdown, he likely will not be called for a penalty, but a prolonged display of the signal. Which has, of course, been used for decades to mock the Texas Longhorns hook 'em horn sign, then you'll be penalized, especially if it's directed toward an opposing player or at the opponent's bench.
What's long?
Yeah, but are they gonna start throwing a flag on Texas?
Yeah, what about the gator chomp? I mean, that's like the most is that disrespectful? I don't know. Like they throw it on another team. Like if you do the gator chomp, they'll get you. Didn't we have a player score a touchdown?
John Kelly.
Yeah. And he did the gator chomp. They threw a flag on him, didn't
15
they?
15 yards, yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
And then they scored a touchdown the next possession.
Yeah. I feel like if you're going to get a 15-yarder, you might as well just roll out and get the full Monty, spear somebody in the back of the head.
Well, that turned graphic.
How is an official supposed to make that decision on the field?
They're not. They're going to completely bungle it.
Nope, you held it for 6 seconds.
Are we going to go back to the booth and say, well, it's 3.5 seconds. I feel like that was too long. Penalty.
Excessive.
That was a little excessive.
I mean,
unsportsmanlike
conduct.
This
is what they're spending their time on. Idiots.
It is a disrespectful thing for another university, I guess, to do.
If we were Texas,
I mean,
if we had a hand sign that we cherished like that at Tennessee and people were doing it upside down, would we be upset about? Oh, you would be the most upset about it.
No, I really
you would be irate.
They do have a hand signal.
Well, that's that stupid thing Butch Jones invented in his bedroom.
The Vol, V-O-L.
Yeah, but most people don't know that. That's not as widely known as the hook 'em horns things. Like, everybody knows that when they see it.
This goes back for decades.
Is that the only school with, like, a hand gesture?
No, the Florida Gators have the chomp.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like,
a single hand gesture. Yeah. No, USC does the peace sign.
I mean, Tennessee tried a new one out in Tuscaloosa, what, 5, 6 years ago?
A peace sign?
Rashawn Galdon, yeah.
They do the
No, that's – USC does two fingers, don't they?
Yes, they do, actually. Good job.
Really?
Smart. Yeah. Good job on that one.
I don't know why.
I don't know how you pulled that one out.
Oh, it's a V for victory.
Yeah. Oh. Victory.
It's not if you turn it around.
Great fight songs, USC. I will give them that. I will give Lane Kiffin that. They had great fight songs.
I liked them before the Lane incident. I did. I would pull for them in the Rose Bowl always.
They got those gals with the sweaters out there.
Pom-pom squad.
That's them and UCLA.
Strong tradition, man.
Them and UCLA. Strong tradition.
Guns up, Texas Tech.
You did guns down.
Good job, buddy. Yeah, good job. Guns up. Yep.
This day and age of increased gun violence, I, for one, am thoroughly triggered. Actually, I shouldn't say triggered because that in and of itself is triggering. I am thoroughly offended by the Texas Tech guns up signal.
You're woke about this?
Damn right. Ought to be a 15-yard penalty and automatic execution. Anybody uses the guns up signal. Bear, we have a – speaking of wokeness, we have a animal report for you, Bear.
Yes.
Does this involve a loggerhead turtle?
It does involve turtles. But
really?
Not a specific turtle. In 2016, the Wisconsin Departments of Transportation and Natural Resources partnered with the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point to construct a tunnel beneath Highway 66 in Wisconsin, hoping to cut down on the high turtle mortality rates.
Yeah.
Not making this up.
No.
Wisconsin took taxpayer money and built a turtle tunnel underneath the highway so that people wouldn't run the turtles
over. I mean, the turtles dying is, you know, I think the biggest part of the problem, but also it was causing...
messing up a car.
Well, not messing up the car. But people are swerving to not hit them, causing wrecks.
The tunnel with Jordan Pond on one side and wetlands on the other was a noble venture, proponents say, but the turtles had no way of knowing it because... They're turtles!
They couldn't read a sign, go this way.
And so they started building funnels. I'm not making this up. They installed aluminum flashing outside of each opening, which they felt would reflect the sky and let the turtles know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I swear I'm not making this up.
I tip my hat to them.
You're an idiot. They also installed grates above the tunnel to make it less shadowy and give light in there, and a small cul-de-sac and a nearby piece of the fencing to encourage turtles who had missed the tunnel to turn around.
Turtles are getting better care than the homeless.
It's because Russ and all his buddies throw straws in the ocean.
They say that you saw a 16 turtle decrease. They went from 66 turtles in 2015 to 40 turtles killed in 2015.
I would love to talk to the guy that did the math on this one.
It's worth every dime.
No, it's not.
No.
It is a pointless boondoggle and waste of taxpayer money.
No,
it's a turtle.
It's not.
To get the turtle a turtle underpass on the highway. I mean, what are you hoping? That the turtles will go under the underpass and go all tell all their turtle friends, hey, man, you ever cross that interstate, Highway 66 over there? You won't believe what the people have done for us. The humans have built us a little ramp underneath. It's got grates and light and even a nice little cul-de-sac at the end. It's rather peaceful. You can walk right through there and not have to get run over by the cars. They're turtles!
It's a positive. For the
they don't even know what a road is. They're just like, oh, I'm walking. I'm a turtle, turtle, turtle. I'm walking looking for some grass to eat. There's no grass. Why is it so hard and rocky here? Splat!
Turtle. God bless the World Wildlife Fund.
Wisconsin, man. What are they smoking up there?
I'm not a grass expert.
The good stuff. Turtles, turtles' lives matter as well. What? I want to know, did they go? You said they went underneath an overpass?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Because it would have to be careful when you're driving in Florida. Road.
Especially when you get down past Miami. A lot of turtles down there. You gotta really be careful.
Yeah.
Down in Miami?
When you get south of Miami, when you're going down into the Keys.
You ever run over a turtle?
No. Ran sound my car in a ditch, dodging one.
Sound that shell makes when it cracks?
It's horrible.
Thought you said you never ran over one.
I've been in a car where somebody just... Dude didn't want to swerve.
And you heard it? And yeah. It scarred you?
Well, no, it's just awful.
What did it sound like?
Very loud crack. What are you doing?
The way the shell...
You're having a really good day here today.
Mixes with the turtle guts.
I mean, from the start of this hour to the end of it.
A special...
You're soulless.
Special sound that it makes, Bear. Parker Pewitt will have your top four at four.
Gotten out of hand.
Coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. Get you caught up on everything going on at the various college football media days around the country, and a lot of Major League Baseball games going on right now. He'll have a Major League Baseball scoreboard update for you as well. British Open kicks off tomorrow. Tiger looking for major number 16. See how he fares. A lot going on. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.